Hey, I'm Dean Blandino, and as a newly minted Detroit Lions fan, I always listen to Chris and Case on the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions with it, second and goal from the 8, down 6, but on the move. Chris, working from the gun, looks out to the right, now checks out that Viking defense. Takes the snap, back to pass, looks right, got Case in the end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions! That's it, pack the bag, start the plane, this game is over! How big is that? And now it's time to start the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions podcast. Your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who have never dropped a Matthew Stafford pass, Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions podcast, episode 152, the official Detroit Lions podcast for Reddit and the first post-draft podcast you need to listen to. I am your dashing host, Chris, and with me is my good friend and co-host, Case. How you doing, my man?
Man, Chris, I'm a big Marvel fan, and I've been watching a lot of the MCU films, and I just want to say, as much as I love this, the Infinity War movie, I think Ragnarok is probably at the top of my list.
Yeah, wow. Okay. In today's show, we're going to break down and rate the Lions 2018 draft player by player and across the board. We're also going to look at the 2018 UDFA. That's undrafted free agents for you novices. We're going to look at that class, and we're also going to discuss the important upcoming dates in May. There's a whole lot more coming. It's a great show. Case, you ready to go, my man?
Carry on, my wayward son.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, a couple of quick announcements first. Make sure to check us out and help us out on Patreon. Special thanks to Dylan from
Guam.
And, of course, our very first donor, Mathis. Also, Brian B. from I Prevail, iprevailband.com, some great stuff out there. Man, I've been jamming them hard lately. They've suddenly just crawled up my playlist. I can't get away. You can join us on Patreon as well, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, or just go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the Patreon link. All of you folks that are donating, we love you so much and appreciate it. You can join them by going to one of those places. You can donate as little as $1 a month, as much as $10 billion a month. All that helps feed into what we're doing here. The website, the great writing you see on our site, the wicked live draft spectaculars, the draft shows, the podcast, the whole thing. It all helps make that a reality. Help join the crew. We make some extra content for the folks that do that every now and then, and you can get that for just $1 a month. But anything you can spare to donate to the show through the Patreon, we much, much appreciate. Make sure to give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, or check us out on the Twitter Maker at DETLionsPodcast. That's DETLionsPodcast. Give us a follow. It's the best place to see Case.
Giving Chris a hand.
Subscribe to us on YouTube. It's youtube.com/DetroitLionsPodcast. Again, youtube.com/DetroitLionsPodcast. We need to bump that subscriber count, so any help you can give us there, every account you have, give it a subscription. Tell your friends, subscribe. Push the button for them. Just do that. Those subscribers on YouTube are very, very helpful, and we need to bump that up to help move things forward. Make sure to rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you find us. We love those 5-star reviews, and they mean a lot. They also help us out a lot. So if you haven't yet, please give us one of those great reviews and let people know what they're getting into when they listen to the show. Lastly, give us a call via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or call us on the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-335-4667. You can leave us a message and get a chance to hear yourself on the show.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review this week in Reddit.
All right, it's time to talk about all the fun and exciting things going down this week in Reddit. And guys, I don't know. I mean, should we really do a show this week? Is there anything to talk about? Did anything happen?
I haven't heard a damn thing.
No,
really? No, it's May. I mean, that's kind of cool.
Oh, May Day. Yeah, that's right. It's May Day when we're recording this. So
she could be a basket.
All right, that was a great show. Yeah, I got a bag for you. No, let's talk about the draft. That might have been something interesting. People might want to hear about that.
Oh yeah,
yeah. A lot of people are kind of talking about that. Here we are talking about bags and baskets. Let's talk about the draft a little bit. Lions did. Depending who you talk to, they either stole the show or the show stole their wallet. Let's kind of talk overall about the draft, guys. I'd like to get your kind of take on how they did, but how Bob Quinn did. And then from there, maybe kind of walk down through the picks and talk about them and what they bring to the team. So, let's start with you, Case, since you're Mr. I picked the first four picks perfectly on the draft.
Three.
I know. I wanted you to correct that. What do you feel? How do you think the team did overall?
I don't have a problem at all with with the positions they picked. I don't have a problem at all that they did, focus on offense early. And I know that some people do have a problem with that. To me, as long as you're filling, major needs, as long as you're making, an attempt to fix something that's broken, I don't really care where it is on the team. So I don't have a problem there, even though I was admittedly a little bit surprised that they went that way. But I don't have a problem with it. If you look at pretty much every single big board that was out there before the draft, our first three picks are terrible value. Now, listen, because I'm not done. I every year, every year this, when something like this happens, when any team gets criticized, by the media or whatever, the team's fans will immediately say, well, yeah, but I mean, what do they know? They're the media, teams are, no more, et cetera, et cetera. I don't actually know if that's true. If that was true, every team would always have a successful draft. Draft Knicks, get a lot of, negative publicity from fans when they come out and say, when what they said either before or after the draft does not line up with, who the team took. And everybody will say, what do they know? What do they know? What do they know? Well, they might know something. And so we shouldn't, disregard that perhaps we didn't use our first three picks to the best value we can. Now, to say on another note, that's not to say I dislike the players we picked. And there's one in particular, and I think, I'm going to guess that it might be pretty obvious of the first three picks that I really dislike. I like especially Ragnow and Johnson. I like Hand. I like Crosby. I like Bowden. I like those players. The question always has to be, who else could they have gotten maybe instead? And and we've all heard, especially in regards to Ragnow and Johnson and to some degree Walker, that all three of those players were coveted by other teams and, they weren't going to make it to us at a later time and, whatever. But to go back to the, that doesn't necessarily mean that those other teams that wanted them were, right about them either. Like I say, if every team was always right about every, where they place value on specific players, then every team would never have, a failure and every draft would be incredibly predictable et cetera. That doesn't mean that I don't think we can't turn this into a good draft. It just means that they took some big risks. They took some really big risks in terms of players who may not appear worth what they gave up for them for. We trade up, we trade up twice and gave away two picks. That puts a lot of pressure. That puts a lot of pressure on Bob Quinn and Patricia to make this work. And if you want to look at the draft as a whole, there's now a ton of pressure on Patricia to make improvements to this defense, despite not a very large talent influx.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's an interesting take, and I don't necessarily fully disagree with it, but there's areas I would pick nits at. But we have to go with Riz because there's – I mean, we're not going to do the Riz's Right segment, but he does deserve a Riz's Right segment this week. So we just want to give him credit in the plus column all we can. But Riz, what do you think? What do you think overall for the Lions draft?
I kind of agree with Case on a lot of things. I actually do know that Ragnow was going to go to the Cincinnati Bengals at 21, and they were devastated that they could not get him. They wound up falling back okay with Billy Price, but they really wanted Ragnow. And I think one of the things that I got from talking to other people in the draft and even on a couple of teams was that if Ragnow had played the full year, and you know, done as well as he did at the start of the 2017 season, you would have thought of him as a steal at 20.
And I can get behind that. I don't
mean it, like, and I think that's a fair assessment, but then you have to worry. I mean, availability is an ability, and he did not show that this past year. It was a bit of a fluke injury, but you know, we're quite burned with that between all the injured guys we've had on the offensive line, which is why it sucked last year. I'm happy with that one. And I'm curious as to if he's going to play left guard or center. I'm kind of hoping that he plays center, move Glasgow back to left guard, where I think he probably does the least amount of damage, is probably the wrong way to say that. But
I even saw, and such real quick, sorry to jump in, I even saw somebody suggest that maybe Lang would end up at left guard and things would move around.
That's not a terrible idea either.
Okay.
I'm not sure that that's what's going to happen, but that's what training camp and mini camp are for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I mean, we're skipping ahead a little bit here, too.
Yeah, absolutely. But. So I'm happy with that pick. I loved getting Kerryon Johnson. Wasn't crazy about trading up to get him, but
I really like the player. I've talked about how much I love him.
But. Yeah, and as you guys know, he was in my what I would do mock draft to the Lions. And most people at that time thought I was an idiot. And now everybody seems to like him. So it's funny how the prism changes.
So overall, I mean, you're thinking relatively similar to the Case, but there's some ups, there's some downs. That's kind of the case for all the drafts, right?
Overall, I agree with Case. They addressed one of the two major weaknesses on the draft on the team, and they did it in such a way that you cannot possibly think that they have not done so. Mm-hmm. They have addressed so much attention and resources to fixing the run game that now, if it fails, it is not Bob Quinn's fault.
It's not the
player's fault either. It's quite squarely on Jim Bob Cooter to get his shit together and get this running game working. And I am, I'll say, less than confident that he can do that, but I'd like to be surprised.
So I do want to say that there's you know, I usually don't do the I told you so, but I've heard so much about the Marvin Jones thing from Case last year that I do want to say that, look at that. They addressed the offense like I said they were, and they left the defense for Patricia to take care of it. Yep. And I like the Ragnow pick. Look, again, he would have gone next. And like you said, Riz, he could have gone higher had he stayed healthy. I think this is
Johnson would have gone within the next two picks too, including Green Bay looking at him very hard two picks later.
Yeah, so for sure.
Keep that in mind.
I think that overall, there's one pick that I really don't like out of the whole thing. And that's yet to, I mean, all these things really play themselves out a year or two later. And that's when you really know how things are going. Is this as bad as a Mayhew draft? No way. No chance it's that bad. And I know I'm drinking a little more Kool-Aid than maybe you guys are on this, but in any cases, we did maybe pick a guy who could have gone 4, 5, 6 picks later, right? Maybe we paid a little too much. Sometimes we paid guys that maybe would have gone many picks later on the one that I particularly don't like. But for the most part, these are probably the best guys at the positions of need that we were seeking out at that time. Did we, you know, when somebody doesn't want to trade back with you, when you can't get a trade back, it doesn't mean that the player you're targeting isn't still the player that's right for your team at that time, even if it's a little bit higher in value. I get the idea of always take the best player available. I think there's a little bit more of a mix to that than what we're seeing. I've heard some, you know, and again, the smokescreens don't end after draft day, right? You have GMs trying to justify what's going on and what they did afterwards as well. I'm sure there's a lot of pressure in that room and a lot of things going on there. But, you know, I've heard them say that there's players that the Patriots were looking at after, you know, that we picked up ahead of them, things like that throughout the draft. So overall, I think this is a good draft. And the idea here is kind of like I thought it was going to be. We are going to address that run game. We are going to become an offensive team. And I don't mean offensive. I mean a team with a good offense.
Hurt the defense to have a good run game either. Exactly. So if it actually works out,
And the other side of it is think about the games we played last year. How many of them were close? How many of them were comeback games? How many of them were lost because we couldn't get 2 yards or 3 yards or 1 yard, right? It's a completely different ball of wax. And from year to year, you'll see teams, you know, I know there's always the claim that defense wins football games, but from year to year, you'll see a change. It's the offensive powerhouse that suddenly comes through and wins the Super Bowl. Other years, it's a defensive powerhouse. And we've seen it with the Patriots. They've been super strong on offense and weak on defense and vice versa throughout their different, you know, dynasty runs here. I think when you look at the team that they had to work with this year and the new coach that they had, you put all in on the offensive side of the ball, you trust in your coach to help that defense because he worked a piece of crap defense last year into the Super Bowl. So there's something to be said for that. You trust that this year and next year, the defensive, you know, your line on the next year's draft is deep. It looks like it's a good year to get those guys in the defense. So shore up the offense and try to outscore them this year. I think that's a pretty good plan, especially again, looking at the secondary, and our secondary in this division is probably, you know, it's something you need a strong secondary. There's no question about it when you're playing against Aaron Rodgers and even the Biscuit and the other folks in the division. I think this is a good setup to win some division games this year, and I think this is a good play for Quinn. So again, like I said, a little bit more Kool-Aid. I'm looking at it maybe a little differently than a lot of people, but I'm not going to say that this is the best draft ever, but I can't say that this is a bad draft by any stretch.
I think that's very fair. It's hard to point to any of the guys and say they don't make the Lions better.
Yeah, I think so. I do, and we'll talk about that. I think eventually one of them will make us better, but I don't like where we got it. But anyway, okay, let's start out. Let's go on a player-by-player basis. If you watch the live draft show, Case and I both had kind of shocked faces while we were figuring out the Ragnow pick. In the light of day, it was like, I like this pick. I think it was good, not just because the Bengals wanted him next, but the more I learned about the guy, and I didn't get to go as deep on the draft as I wanted to this year because of work and other things, but I really like this pick. And in the light of the entire draft and the focus of the draft from Bob Quinn, I think this was a really, really good pick. Riz, tell us a little bit about Ragnow. What are we going to expect out of him? And is this a good, look, your first round pick, you need him to make a difference in year one. Do you think he will make that difference in year one?
I do. I think he is a starter. He plays with a similar style. And I'm not saying that he's like him, but he plays with that similar mentality of Dominic Raiola in the middle. This is a guy who wants to come out and beat your ass on every snap. He's That's going good. To look to do that. And there were a lot of times where he did that, including if you watch the Alabama game, he whipped the crap out of Daron Payne. Didn't actually do all that well against Deshaun Hand when they got matched up, which was only like two or three plays. But this is a guy, he can get out to the second level and flatten a linebacker. He can make an initial block on an interior lineman and peel off and combo with someone else. He's very smart. He picks up twists. He picks up stunts. He picks up second level guys coming. He's very, he did not give up a sack. That tends to be overstated a little bit because a lot of times there's, you know, just miscommunications and they identify wrong. I've watched probably, I want to say 10 of his games over the last 2 years, and I don't remember him giving up a sack. And I did really like watching him play. And another thing is they ran a pro style offense at Arkansas as well. They did not run some gimmicky thing. They actually did a lot of things that you're going to see him do in the NFL, which I think is important. That's something that can't be like, this isn't a guy from Oklahoma State who's never put his hand in the dirt before, even at center.
Right.
And he's done these things. So I liked it quite a bit. I would have been higher on him had he been healthy. He wound up being my number 24 overall player, I think. Let me look at that. Yes, 24. And I'm very happy with him. I would have gone somewhere else with the pick, but I'm not going to fault Bob Quinn for doing this, for addressing the one open starting spot on the roster, which is either left guard or center. And he got one of the very best players in the draft to do that. That's if you're arguing against that, you probably don't know football very well.
Case, yeah. Go show how little you know about football.
Yes, Case.
If we were going to go inside offensive linemen in this draft, there were two other guys that I really, really liked. And I think that's why I had the reaction I did. I'd fallen in love with Wynn over the last week before the draft, who went to the Patriots a few picks after us, who also had, there was some rumor that they also, you know, had, you know, talked to somebody about possibly trading up to take Ragnow. So, I mean, I guess, you know, and I'm not, I don't want to take away from like that aspect of it that, I mean, it's nice to get a guy that that other teams were coveting. That doesn't necessarily mean those other teams were right to do so, but it's nice nonetheless. Wynn and Hernandez both, because I felt like Glasgow does a good job at center. And I know that, you know, people get upset about the wonky snap, but I think that's in the past personally. So I would have liked to see either of those guys instead, just, you know, for health reasons, for, you know, I don't know that either of them are going to be better, but we're going to have to look back on this in, you know, a couple of years and then see, you know, which of the three interior offensive linemen that was available, that was, you know, extremely talented, right at that moment ends up being the best. And I hope we got the best of the three. And I don't want to say we didn't. I had personally fallen in love with Wynn. So that was what I wanted there, if they were going to go that route. I'm actually in retrospect, my biggest, you know, concession here is that I'm very glad they didn't go with a player like Taven Bryan there, because like as much as in my head I was seeing defensive line as a much bigger need, I think that he's not as nearly as good, or at least not nearly as good right now, a player as any of those interior offensive linemen were, and how difficult it is to get interior offensive linemen, period, who are ready to go day one. I think that was probably a very smart move, and I'm glad they went that direction. So my gripe with it is very minor. I don't mean to overstate it. I'm actually quite happy with the pick. I just wanted Wynn.
You know, what's funny is, okay, I liked Austin Corbett more.
Sure.
And both Wynn and Corbett will be their starting left tackles for the teams that drafted them, which I think is interesting, because everybody here projected them both as guards. Corbett went 33rd to the Cleveland Browns. He's going to be their starting left tackle. And Isaiah Wynn is projected now as the starting left tackle for the New England Patriots. So it's kind of funny that, you know, we don't really have an opening for a tackle, and these guys who were tackles in college and we projected to go into guards or wind up staying at tackle. I think that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So that's it. We can all have our opinions, and Cases is always wrong. All right, let's move on to round two. We made a trade up, which some people think is a head scratcher. Again, this is the question is on value for the pick. But in the scheme of the whole draft, I think this one still makes sense in Kerryon Johnson. I think he's going to be an excellent running back. I think he gives us that zigzag to the bulldozer that we get in Blunt, and you know, the other guys follow that were on the team before. It definitely puts some questions at the running back positions for the guys that are on the team when this draft started. And I have a feeling maybe some of them were like, what just happened when they announced that pick? But I think this is a good pick. And I think between Ragnow and Johnson, this is a pair of great moves to shore up a absolute massive need for this team based on their performance last year. What do you think, Case?
I love him as a player. It was just that I saw him as a third round pick. Now that changed because of the run on running backs that, you know, I think maybe the writing was on the wall that was going to happen. And so I don't want to necessarily say I was completely shocked or anything like that. I think, you know, I'd seen predictions saying, you know, that some of these guys would be available in the fourth round. I'd seen predictions that some of these guys would go in the second round. And you know, when Rashad Penny went in the first round, I was like, okay, something's, you know, something's happening here. Like, we gotta have to adjust our, you know, expectations.
Something's
here.
Happening. Call the team being an idiot.
Yeah, exactly. So, I'm not surprised if they hadn't moved up to get him where they did. I'm not even sure that Darius Geis would have been available at their pick. The only other player in the draft, the one that I wish maybe, you know, that they would have, if they had not taken Kerryon Johnson in the second round after moving up and giving up their, but was it the fourth round pick that they gave up to move up?
They gave up a fourth, I believe.
Fourth. Okay. Had they not done that, had they held on to that fourth round pick, what I would have maybe preferred to see is to wait and take John Kelly in the third round. But who knew if he was even going to be available? So, I mean, he ended up being taken in the fourth round. But like, but as far as the running backs in this class were concerned, I would much higher on Kerryon Johnson than I was on a lot of other guys in terms of what I think he can bring to us. There were a lot of the guys in this draft who I thought are, you know, great players behind the right offensive line, guys like Ronald Jones, even Rashad Penny, guys with a lot of speed, but who I see, you know, hit the, you know, run straight into the line and hope for the best kind of players. And I don't think that's what we need. So I think Kerryon Johnson really fits. And I've seen some comparisons, and I don't want people to get carried away with these comparisons, and a lot of you have probably seen them too, to his running style matching players. Both Le'Veon Bell and DeMarco Murray are the two, you know, comparisons I've heard. Not that those guys are necessarily similar, but that he might have some similar traits to both of them. And I, if you watch him, you can obviously see that he's got a little bit of that like patience to the whole type of aspect. And that wasn't necessarily something I thought Detroit could pull off until they've gone and done everything they've done. And now I think that is hopefully a potentially good situation for them where he can, and at the same time, he's very smart about when a play is busted and he knows it's busted, or if he could tell that something, it just isn't going to develop, he's very smart about still getting to the line of scrimmage or, you know, 1 or 2 yards. So I give him very much credit for that. And there are tons of things I like about that. It's always going to be that question of, is he worth what we gave up to get him? And I hope he is. And I really do. And I really do think that when you actually look at where if the only back in this draft that I thought we could have gotten good value on is John Kelly, then they probably did what they had to do to get him. So,
yeah. And let's be fair. He has a hell of a chance to be more than just hope he is. He has a hell of a chance and the talents that he could very well be that guy that's worth what we paid for him. So,
yeah.
Riz, what do you think? Where are you at on Kerryon Johnson?
I really like him. And like I said earlier, I did include him in my what I would do mock draft for the Lions.
Yeah.
And I think he's a great fit for what Jim Bob Cooter's idea of running the ball is. And there's a number of reasons why I think that. First off is he has experience at taking a static handoff, which is not something that most college backs have done. Auburn did a lot where they did a split shotgun backfield where he's standing to the right and there's a fullback to the left. And oh, by the way, the Lions happen to add a fullback. So, and he knows how to run with a fullback. So I think that's a plus. We'll get to that. Those picks are related. I'll just say that. this was a guy who was a wildcat quarterback in high school. He's used to having the ball in
college.
He actually did do quite a bit of that in college too. He has a funny story about that. I heard a great interview with him. It was like 20 minutes long, and he talked. He's a great dude. This is a guy that Lions fans can be proud of. He's not going to embarrass the organization. This is not a guy who's going to, you know, test poorly for pissing. He's a bright guy.
There's a great path to the draft series on him on YouTube that you can
find. I haven't seen that. I'll have to check that out. He's definitely an engaging guy, and he's a lunch pail guy. He's very much self-made. He's humble. And the player that he models his game after, and you can see it, and you can't unsee it once you say it, is Matt Forte. This is a guy who likes to, he runs a little bit upright and he's not top end fast. And those are very valid criticisms of Kerryon, and he will tell you that. Mm-hmm. But he's very good at he likes to say, I feel where the run's going to go by looking at the defense. And you can absolutely see that when you watch him. And that was something that Matt Forte was very good at. He's very good at setting up the blocks, at seeing how the defender is going to react to him, and then reacting in reaction to that. That's a terrible sentence, but
he's a much better pass blocker than any of the backs we had on the team last year.
He's a fantastic pass blocker. He can run. He can catch the ball. Mm-hmm. They didn't ask him to do that a lot at Auburn, but he can, mm-hmm. in fact, catch the ball. I really like the fit. And if Jim Bob Cooter's version of the NFL run game is going to work, this is the guy who does it. You did not want Rashad Penny. You certainly did not want Sony Michel taking that sort of handoff. That is just, he'd get flattened.
Or T.I. So
we'll talk about who's getting cut later.
All right, we can do that.
I really like it, and I don't have a problem with moving up. Because the next tier of backs that was there, I'll address the because the next guy who did go off at a running back is Mr. Geis. And he fell for a variety of valid reasons. And I will tell you, and I've been telling you guys for a very long time, that the Lions did not have any interest in him. Mm-hmm. And what you heard during draft weekend was a lot of why they did not. He is not an easy person to get along with. He's a prima donna. He caused trouble with several different team visits and interviews where now he was like,
let's talk about the one that was the most, the loudest. They talked about the Philadelphia
Eagles,
visit. Yeah. And they said there was an altercation, right? And then there's been all kinds of cleanup afterwards, but for the entire draft day, you know, when there's no opportunity to re-spin the story, you don't know if this is someone releasing a video of the gas mask bong, which it will forever be my favorite part of the NFL draft, but or if it's a case of like this really happened, or you don't know what's going on. Now, everything I'm seeing afterward was, oh, no, this didn't happen. Is this just the cleanup crew? Is this the fixers coming in, or is it more than just the Eagles?
It absolutely happened with the Eagles, and it happened with another team too, where he thought that somebody asked him a question that he didn't feel was appropriate. And from what I understand, this was a very football pertinent question. It wasn't like, do you like men? Which, by the way, he made up. That's not a true story.
That as well. Yeah.
And he's definitely a attention seeking guy like that. That is not something that Bob Quinn wants or Matt Patricia wants. It was made very clear to me very early in the process that this was not a guy who was a personality fit whatsoever for what this team wanted to be. And I tried to steer people the other way without being kind of an overt dick about it. But I guess I needed to be an overt dick about it because that's what he is.
Well, it's hard to pick it out with so much other dickishness about you. So,
well, that's true too.
No, you're right. And I think
this was a guy that I would not have supported the Lions taking. And in talking to people much up the draft media food chain from me throughout the process, it was pretty clear that he was going to fall, and that the reason that he was going to fall was his own problem, and that nobody thinks he's ever going to outgrow that either.
Right. Kind of.
Welcome to the Redskins.
Because he is a talented dude. He really is.
It feels a little bit like Ebron, right? He just couldn't grow up.
He's
But this guy is different.
Ebron is fairly innocuous with his like immaturity, though. And this is a guy who's
drama.
He can do some damage with it. Yeah. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. No, I wasn't trying to say that Ebron is a bad guy, but I just think it's that immaturity and inability to that lack of self-control.
Yes. If you did not like Eric Ebron, you would not have liked Darius Geis.
Right.
You're going to have to trust
shockingly, the Redskins have a history of that kind of player. So
yeah, they love that guy.
Not a huge shock.
their biggest problem was D'Angelo Hall was that guy, and he wound up working out great. That's like the worst thing that ever happened to him.
Yeah.
They've been chasing that ever since.
Well,
just to credit to D'Angelo, though, that guy's an awesome guy, and he proved worth the risk, but most of the rest of them have not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can say that Darius Geis and Daniel Snyder can hang out together, spend some time. So maybe we can watch that. All right, we'll move on. Round three. This one for me was a real head scratcher. I don't think it was I get the fit. I look at Tracy Walker from Louisiana Lafayette. I see him as a guy that could possibly be kind of groomed to replace Glover Quinn eventually in the secondary, but I just don't. This did not make sense to me. And I know that I've seen Quinn in some press conferences and some other things, and we'll have clips for you next show. We just didn't bring him in this time. Trying to do cleanup on this, but this Tracy Walker pick for me just didn't make sense. And Riz, I want you to either help us understand why it's a good one or explain why.
The bullshit.
Because we just aren't quite sure what's going on here.
Oh, my guy made an appearance. I'm so happy.
Just for you.
I appreciate that. I like Tracy Walker, and I got to do a bit of a Twitter spat with Bryce Rossler on this.
Yeah, I was going to bring him up.
Yeah, Bryce hates the guy, and some of it is framing, because we watched his games in different sequences. I for whatever reason, I wound up watching an inordinate amount of Raging Cajun football. I just do. I don't know. I don't set out to do it. I just happen to. So I had seen their Southeast Louisiana game where he's very good. I saw their Texas A&M game where he was probably the best player on defense on the field for either team, and was great at covering Christian Kirk, who was a very dynamic receiver out of the slot. And then I saw their what's the other game that was? Oh, Idaho. And I had seen Idaho play in person at Western Michigan, so I had a very good idea of what their offense could and couldn't do. And I thought Walker did a fantastic job in that game of managing what. He'd clearly done film study on it because he was aware of what they were going to attack with. He knew how to play it, and I thought he played very well. I saw him at the Shrine game in person, and I saw a guy who was much more willing to turn and run and let it go. And that's something that Bryce specifically brought up as a criticism of him. And it's a very fair criticism, especially if you watch the Mississippi game first. Because against Ole Miss, if you watch that game, you're going to think, oh, my God, Tracy Walker, what the hell have we done? Because he's terrible in that game. And the Tulsa game is not much better. That's a game, the Tulsa's offense, they run shotgun spread all the time at tempo. They throw all the time, and he wasn't ready for it, and he got burned quite a bit on some double moves. He's not ready to play safety yet. And I agree with my friend Beast, who I happened to see for briefly at the draft party that I was at, that he could project as an outside corner, as a press man corner. Mm-hmm. He has the length, effort. And he has the mentality for it. He really mm-hmm. does. And they actually tried him for that for a handful of reps at the Senior Bowl, where they do one-on-one red zone reps. And he did not lose a single rep in that thing. Now, some of that is that the wide receivers down there were crap, but some of it was that he was legitimately in good position. And when he only has one thing to worry about on a play, he was really, really good. And I'm going to hang my hat on that. There is some bad tape. There's no denying that. But I'm happy with the guy. He was my 83rd or what was 84th overall player.
Wow. He went 82nd.
He was my 82nd ranked player. He was one behind Ochenna Nwosu and one above Mr. Deshaun Hand.
And he went 82nd. Now, just to give, you know, I don't want to give you the whole let's beat down Bryce opportunity, right? Because I mean, maybe I should.
Oh, Bryce.
I'm gonna give Bryce's opinion on it full, you know, disclosure here.
But so. if you want to hear it from the horse's ass himself, Bryce, on DetroitLionsPodcast.com, we've got Tracy Walker's scouting report. Check that out, and you'll see Bryce's breakdown of exactly what he saw and what he thinks.
To put some context to that, he and I are direct messaging back and forth, and he's like, what the fuck is wrong with your eyes, man? What are you seeing that I'm not seeing?
In the Slack, he was hilarious. I want to be dead. Oh, abysmal. Oh, I mean, it was just like, he was slowly.
I love Bryce, I feel like we should reveal that Bryce has his own like personal meme that's, I want to die, his own personal meme that he says it all the time. So
the Slack was like he had a noose around his neck, but he was standing on a block of ice waiting for it to melt.
We love you, Bryce.
All right, let's talk about it. What do you got for Tracy Walker, Casey?
Well, having only watched a few of his games, I have to rely on the opinions of both, you know, sides of this argument. And I've seen both sides of this argument in the little bit of game film of him that I have watched. He is, it would be very dangerous to rely on him as a starter at as early as this year, you know, and hopefully that's not an issue we have to deal with. Obviously injuries happen. So if it happens, if he ends up a starter at any position in this defensive secondary this year, it he's going to look bad.
And someone's been
hurt. There's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of work to do, a ton of work to do. And out of my third round pick, I would prefer a guy that I'm not going to be crazy nervous about seeing real action. So like that's my major criticism. Now the funny thing about him is that I've seen myself, you know, so many different things about him, so many different strengths, so many different weaknesses, a lot of people contradicting a lot of other people. When I very first looked into him right after the pick, there was a lot of stuff about him, you know, projecting as a free safety and Quinn's replacement of the future. And I was thinking, well, okay, even if I think maybe that wasn't the best usage of that pick, like I do understand, you know, we need to be planning for that. There's another side of it where I wonder if he doesn't have some Micah Hyde-esque, you know, Swiss Army knife in him, where put him anywhere, if he develops, put him anywhere. But at the same time, you know, we just heard Riz say, you know, as long as he only has to focus on one thing, maybe he's all right. But if you're putting him at safety, like Riz also said, which I think is a much greater need for us in terms of the depth on the team right now than the depth at the cornerback position, where we have too many guys fighting for roles right now. It's a little bit scary to think of him back there. He does have some ball hawking ability. He's got length. Now Bryce didn't think he had the skills to get up against jump balls, but I've also seen some highlights of him doing exactly that. So I don't exactly know where I fall on that particular issue. And once again, as soon as he was picked, I started hearing that, you know, somebody else was targeting him.
That seemed to be a meme this draft.
The Carolina Panthers liked him a lot, and they picked four players later. They took Rashawn Golden, a guy who you don't want in Detroit. He was a fifth or a sixth round prospect, and they panicked and traded up. So
he's just a confusing prospect, and I just don't.
I'll say this for him: I don't think he's going to play. I think he's going to get the Tease Tabor treatment, and I think he'll be a healthy scratch this year.
And I won't try to judge the pick too harshly until, you know, 2-3 years down the line.
But the thing is, from a third round pick, you really want him to see the field. And I get this is an investment and all that. But I'll tell you the one thing that I heard when that pick was announced, and it didn't stop. It was like, people, I don't know who Tracy Walker is. I don't know why we picked him. I don't know anything about Tracy Walker. And this is not a third round pick of a guy that I expect to play. And that's exactly what we're saying. This is a growth pick. Now, look, you pick a cornerback, and you're talking about possibility for him throwing him to the outside there, Riz. You pick a cornerback and you know you're making an investment for a year or two or three before he's going to be able to play. So maybe that's what's going on. There's also some guys vying for those cornerback roles right now that we've talked about earlier that might be getting pushed to safety. So there's, you know, we don't
see the great Quandre Diggs experiment. We'll see what happens with that.
And Wilson's back, so we don't even know who's going to win that role. You know, right.
So there's a lot still to see.
And our camp show is going to be fun. We got a lot to talk about for that.
Well, we got tons of interesting offseason stuff here.
Yes, we really do.
And think about it, though. That's the thing. What kind of position are we in now to have actual real fights and battles for positions and for backup positions? How long has it been since we've faced that at more than one position?
It's been a long time since we weren't like taking guys cut off of other teams and putting them in at second place on the depth chart.
Yep. Exactly. Yep. And so this is an interesting pick. We could totally be wrong about how bad he is or how good he is. So we have to
see. I like to look at who else was available at the pick. And there was one guy that I did like more, and his name is Moore, Tavarius Moore. Mm-hmm. Wound up going later in the third round. I think he went to San Francisco with their pick right at the end of the round. And I did rate him higher. He was my number 70 player. And I think he's a better and more NFL-ready safety prospect. And I do think he's higher end, too. So I was a little disappointed that it wasn't him. But I'll live with Tracy Walker. Could have been worse.
You think they deferred because he's Slay's second cousin?
Yeah, exactly. There were several people taken after him In the next few picks, guys like D'Adrian Sinnott, Arden Key. Oh my God.
Yeah. That would have been an interesting one.
That was definitely a guy that was never going to be Detroit Lion, personal reasons.
Let me ask you,
the pick right after is Orlando Brown. There's a guy who, mm-hmm. who's not a better athlete than any of the three of us.
I've been unemployed for a few months now. I've been sitting on my ass a lot. He's probably a better athlete right at this moment, but I'm getting my bike. It's nice out. I'm getting my bike. So maybe a month from now won't be true anymore.
Okay. Okay. So let me ask you, I was talking to a friend who happens to be a Cowboys fan today. And we both, cause we picked right next to each other. We both had this kind of sense that we had a real awkward place in the draft to pick. Every time it fell, it was like, ah, God, I feel, I mean, it had,
and
it
I feel had, that I mean, way every year.
I know. But it, I mean, even he felt that way. That's why I bring it up. It seemed like, you know, this 19-20 spot was not just in the first round, but as you keep going, it was like, gosh, it was a tough place to pick. There's just nothing. There was, I don't know that there was really very many times a guy that stood out as this is the absolute guy you take. Do you agree with that, Riz? Or
yeah, I do. Like, and it's weird because we kind of needed the same basic things that they did too. And it's weird how that played out. Yeah, it is an awkward spot. And what does that mean? That means you either trade up or you trade down. Well, guess what? The Lions traded up twice.
Yeah. And to trade down, you need a dance partner. And it's hard, right? It's people talk about that all the time. Like, oh, yeah, just trade down.
People think it's so easy. It was very difficult to trade up in this draft. Or to trade back, there were not a lot of teams that were looking to move up because there wasn't, we've said it before, player 20 on one team's board is player 70 on another team's board.
Right.
There was no real stark definition there. There were tiers, but the thing was, unless you wanted a running back, you know, in the second round, you weren't going to trade up, and the Lions did. And so there's so many situations where, like, they were picking where there was four or five other players at that position in that tier, for if teams wanted to come up. And it's like, why would I move up six spots if I can get the same guy later, the same essential value later? And that was the way that this draft went for a lot of teams.
Yep. Where we were, it just felt like there was no standout value that anybody would jump up for. Exactly. Exactly, Riz. All right, we'll move on. The hand of the king, Deshaun, defensive end from Alabama. Wow, we've got two defensive players now. You know, two out of the top four. You would think we didn't, based on what everyone's saying, we didn't get anybody for defense. And it was strictly an offensive-only draft for us. But Deshaun Hand, he looks like he's going to be able to make a difference here in year one. Right there, Case?
Well, I don't know if you remember, if our listeners remember that the word of the day last year around draft time was versatility. But I mean, both the Walker pick and the Hand pick are great fits for that word again.
Yep.
Versatility. You've got he's a big dude, like almost 300 pounds. He's lengthy, long, has not had a great deal of success in terms of rushing the passer in his college career. But he is, I think he was certainly considered one of the better run defenders, linemen, defensive linemen in the draft. He fell to us after we moved up and gave away a third round pick next year, which I don't love. love that. Like to me, I get that the draft value theoretically this year is less than it is next year, but at the same time, like come next year, we're not going to have a third round pick unless, you know, we trade up or trade down to get one, which could bite us. Although, you know, at the same time, I have heard that generally speaking, people don't think next year's draft class is as strong as this year's was. So maybe it makes sense in that context. We'll have to see. But he's certainly a player that I would expect to see in a rotation this year. I don't expect him to be getting a ton of sacks. I do expect him to be, you know, a relief type of player, playing both defensive tackle and defensive end. We have a bunch of these players now. over on the, you know, we're going to probably see, assuming he stays healthy, we're going to see Ziggy stay on the field the majority of the time. On the other side of the line, and in, you know, A'shaun Robinson will also probably stay on the field most of the time. Those other two positions on the line, we're going to see so much rotation, and he's just going to be one of those guys. And he might play tackle, he might play end. They'll use him situationally, and I have no problem with that. I hope that Patricia is able to, you know, get the most out of him. That's, you know, that's kind of what I'm seeing as his, like, he's got to make that happen this year, is to get the most out of these kind of players. This is a development situation with this guy, but he does bring immediate size, strength, and power to the position that can be used. So
mm-hmm. Now let me, can I make a guess? Can I make a prediction for next year where we get our third round pick?
Shoot.
Ziggy Ansah, compensatory.
Oh, very well, maybe.
See, I don't think so. I think one of the themes that I picked up out of this draft is that Ziggy Ansah is very much in the long-term plans of this team. That's one of the reasons why they didn't aggressively address outside pass rusher. They've got one, and it sure seems like they want to keep him. That's my hot take on it. I know Brett Whitefield thinks the same thing, because we wound up having a mind meld on that. We tweeted almost the exact same thing at the exact same time. And Brett's a good dude.
Yeah, I would have completely disagreed with that 6 months ago even. But today, I think you are probably more right than you are wrong. So,
yeah, no, I think I'm going to stand by that. And we can have a Riz or Chris was wrong next year. Around February and see where we stand. But I think that's what the thinking is. And the idea is, I mean, it's the bet, right? Ziggy doesn't perform this year. Boop, I got my third round pick. Ziggy does. Okay, we're strong on edge rushers next year anyway in the draft. And that's where I'm gonna put my money, and that's where I'm gonna get my juice.
Yeah. Can I jump in real quick and ask a question of Jeff? Do you think there's any chance at all that they extend him this offseason?
I don't think so, unless he really wants to come down in price and make sure that he wants to stay in Detroit.
I
don't see him doing that.
I agree.
And they're going to concentrate
from his page. From his end, I think he'd be stupid to do that.
Right. He's getting a huge paycheck this year, and yes, if he bets on himself, he's setting himself up for a good paycheck next time around. So,
yes, yeah. I will just say this about betting on the third round compensatory pick. The Houston Texans absolutely did that with AJ Bouye. And they wound up getting a third round compensatory pick, and they used it on a 26-year-old tight end. Be careful what you wish for there.
Okay, so I'm going to say that we're going to get a better drafter over here in Detroit than they do in Texas. But okay,
Jordan Akins, he's a good player, but he's 26 years old.
Yeah, it's a mess. All right,
if he's not a hit year one, that's a disaster. So
yes. Deshaun Hand, where are you at, Riz? What are you thinking?
Wait, so he was my 83rd ranked. He was right next to Tracy Walker in my rankings. And this came across as somewhat hypocritical to a lot of people that I did not like the move up. And I will attempt to explain why I did not. I think when you move up, you're moving up to get a dynamic player at a position. And Deshaun Hand is not that. Mm-hmm. He's your five technique who can kick inside to a three technique or a four technique. I don't think he can play inside of those numbers. Yep. Maybe he'll prove me wrong on that. But I watched an inordinate amount of Alabama games. I think I saw every game but one last year. And this is a guy whose motor is very hot and cold. And I'm not crazy about trading up for a guy with questionable motor. You have to trust that your coach is going to get that out of him. Well, the D-line coach, who is the best motivator in football for my money, is now gone. So I don't know what we've got there. We have his old college coach who seemed to do a decent job with him. But if you watch the Clemson games, plural, if you watch them play, it was Mississippi State, he was really good. And LSU, he was really good both years. But if you watch him play like Louisiana Monroe, or even the Auburn game in 2016 and the Florida game, it's like he's not even caring. He's just sort of there. Doesn't really make any impact whatsoever on the game. And that worries me. I want a guy. I ranked him where I did, because I think if you get it out of him, he's going to be worth that. And I do think he's a very good run defender. And I think that he's, his positional versatility, I'll say Case's word for him, is good enough that you can. This is better than Gabe Wright. That's the move that.
Well, they got picked with the exact same pick, the 114th pick after moving up from the into the fourth round to get him. So like his similarities are eerie. Position wise, what they gave up to get him, but hopefully that's where the comparison ends.
So. Hand is a much higher end player, top end and bottom end than Gabe Wright was. And Gabe Wright was a guy, he didn't really have a position. I can see Deshaun Hand having a position. If I'm trading up, I want a guy who can impact my pass rush that I can trust is going to do that. And there were guys on the board. I am not a Josh Sweat fan, but he was available. There was Marquise Haynes from Ole Miss, is a guy who I actually compared to Jamie Collins once upon a time, who was a star in Matt Patricia's defense. And by the way, Mr. Haynes came back and said, "Don't compare me to some chump." So he might not be the smartest tool in the shed, but there's a guy who can pass rush.
Because he doesn't know not to mess with the Riz. That's why.
Yeah, I guess not. Well, he's. You never know what's going on with that.
He just there was a guy of hair, and he'll step off.
There was a better top end pass rusher. His name is John Franklin Myers, who I believe went to the Rams later in the round. He was a much more consistent penetrator. Now he's coming from Stephen F. Austin, which is an FCS school, but it's a very good FCS school and one of the top FCS conferences. And he wreaked havoc in that. And I think I would have been happier with him, even though I rated him lower, if that makes any sense at all. I hope it does.
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, we can talk Riz, so we get it. All right, we'll move on to the next round. We got Tyrell Crosby, a tackle out of Oregon. I like this pick a lot. I think this is probably the best value that we got in the draft. This guy looks just monstrous. He looks spectacular. Riz, take it away, man. Tell me. Why I'm not going to be able to sleep. Well, tell me why I'm not going to be able to roll out of bed because I've got a kickstand going on.
My pants are still off from getting Tyrell Crosby. I love the pick. This is a guy, another guy who would have been consensus regarded much higher had he not been hurt. He was hurt his junior year, not his senior year. He had a bad foot injury. And you could tell in watching him this past year, he wasn't right when he first came back. But you know what? He still didn't allow it a single sack in the Pac-12, where there's some pretty good pass rushers. A lot of guys who got drafted, he blanked them all. He was my number 44 overall player. He was my number 2 overall offensive tackle. I have no doubt that he could start at left tackle for any number of teams. And right now, he looks like he is the 6th lineman for the Detroit Lions. That is freaky depth. I love it. I love the fact that they took him. In my final mock draft at Real GM, I mocked him in the second round to the Detroit Lions, and I actually got a message from somebody in Allen Park and said, "How could you possibly know that?" And I just sort of filed that away. And when it didn't happen in the third or fourth round, I'm like, okay, well, it's passed because he's going to get taken. Mm-hmm. And one of the reason that I got why he fell was that there were worries about his concussions. He's never had a diagnosed concussion. So that's interesting. That might have been something that they found out in Indianapolis. But I've direct messaged with Tyrell himself, and he said I've never had a diagnosed concussion. So if that's the reason why he fell, that's flat out wrong. If you want to question him about his foot, that's a legitimate thing. But this is a guy. He was a legit top 50 prospect for a lot of people, and he got him in the 5th round. If it doesn't work out because he's hurt or whatever, it's worth the risk. That you cannot possibly be disappointed with this pick. I refuse to accept anybody who is. Case.
No, I am not upset at all. There was an interesting conversation that happened amongst the writers on our Slack chat, and I don't remember exactly who said it, but they brought up the point that if these picks had happened in a different order, perhaps people would actually be happier with this draft than they are, even if we got all the same players, if the Tyrell Crosby had gone in the 3rd round and, you know, just flipping things around a little bit. Everything I've seen is that there's it seems like a major fluke that he ended up dropping to where he did. And I hope that's true. I hope that it is not, you know, if teams got hold of maybe some rumor of concussion, that's a huge issue in the league. So, I mean, I can see teams, you know, taking extra precaution there and, you know, passing. I'm super happy with that one. I have nothing negative to say. That Joe Dahl and Tyrell Crosby are backup linemen right now is, even if you're not a huge Joe Dahl fan, which is okay, even though he did pretty well at the end of this last season, that those are our two backup offensive linemen right now is so much better, so incredibly much better. And we know how important that backup offensive line stuff is because we saw how terrible this team was when they were trying to deal with those issues. So, I mean,
that's Brian Mahalik and Emmett Cleary.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I mean, gone are the days of guys whose names I don't know. I hope.
So, that.
On the offensive line. So no, I have zero issue with that at all. That's super exciting to me that we got a guy who has the talent to have been a you know, second rounder in the fifth round. So
the days one other thing with them, with he and Dahl both, there is your blocking tight end for next year too. They're not going to play tight end. They're going to play that six tackle role. And I think we're going to see a lot of that from one or both of those guys.
Yep. As long as they actually are managing to run the ball instead of trying to pass the ball out of that situation all the time, then I'm good with that.
I think it's going to be really interesting. And I think some of the wrinkles, it's hard also with this coach coming in and where he comes from, trying to plug in this draft and these players into last year's system, even with Cooter there. It's hard to say, how is this going to work with Terrell Austin gone on the defensive side of the ball? There's still a lot to be figured out by us and even I think the players themselves as to how this is going to work out and how they're going to play. So there's going to be a long ongoing story here that's really going to be excellent to see and fun to see play out. Now I want to move on and look, this is a position we've been without for a little while. I think Jed Collins was our last fullback, right?
Nope.
No, we had the great Michael Burton.
Michael Burton, yeah. Duh. Yeah. You know why I'm stuck on Jed Collins? It's because if you go back to late December, our show with Dan Orlovsky, where he tells the story about the prank they pulled on Jed Collins, it is absolutely hilarious. And if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it. I mean, it is rib cracking funny stuff. But anyway, sorry, that got my Jed Collins mind going. So anyway. Nick Bawden, fullback out of the what were they, number three this year? San Diego State. they have a knack for putting out some interesting players out of San Diego State for
fullback ahead of Rashad Penny.
Yep. It's an interesting school who have turned out some players that maybe you wouldn't necessarily expect from a school like that. Nick Bawden, Case, where are you at here? Is this guy better than Penny?
Sure, why not?
I had to give him a good stem to start with.
I am so freaking tired of seeing this team draft the best fullback to come out of any given draft and then release them a year or two later. I really hope that this time they got that guy and they hang on to him for a minute. It's really like it started to bug me a lot. Jed Collins, Michael Burton. There's another dude whose name is escaping me at the moment. That was right before that. But I mean, I can't even guarantee. I mean, he's a seventh round pick, so they'll figure out whether or not he fits what they want to do. And if he does, they'll keep him. If he doesn't, they won't. And I think, you know, he'll be in competition with we mentioned earlier how interesting this offseason is going to be in terms of developing the depth chart. Well, the depth chart for the backs is going to be one of those most interesting places to look. You've got a pretty crowded group right now. And I was not expecting them to pick up a fullback. That was a bit of a surprise to me.
And that puts a real wrinkle in it, right?
Yeah, I did not see Jim Bob Cooter wanting that in his offense, but it might again, once again, they've drafted fullbacks in the past and then ultimately just not used them. So I wouldn't put that out of the question. But it might signal, you know, an indication of the shifting in the mentality in terms of the other guys they brought in the offensive line coaching. It'll be really interesting to see what happens with him. And if they do keep him on going into the season, I really do think that will signal a huge difference in the mentality of the entire offense and what we can expect out of it. Having watched some of what he's done, he's also versatile. He's got, and so is Michael Burton. So like, I'm still a little bitter that, you know, we don't have him. But
me too.
Catching passes out of the backfield, he can do that. So, you know, you can use him in those trick play situations to some effect. You can use him in short yardage situations. He's not necessarily the biggest fullback out there, but he clearly had success at what he was doing, running in front of Rashad Penny. So I like it as a seventh round flyer pick.
Riz, explain why he's our new kick returner, because a man of that size or speed will kill somebody.
He could make special teams.
Kick returner is going to be yet. Special teams is a huge reason why late round picks make the team. He does have special teams experience. I'm not going to lie, I did not scout him because I don't scout fullbacks anymore, because nobody uses a fullback anymore unless they projected converting to tight end. He does not. So I'm aware of who he was. I did see him play while I was scouting Rashad Penny. I thought, oh, okay, that's nice. Like I said earlier when we were talking about Kerryon Johnson, Kerryon Johnson has run with a fullback. He's run out of various different formations with having a lead blocker for him, and he likes it. So maybe that has something to do with it. It's a very dark change for me in what the offensive philosophy is going to be if they're loading that up. It eliminates the need for Daniel Fells, who's no longer here, Darren Fells, whichever the freak Fells brother it was, they've sort of done away with that. Yeah. You think I would have learned by now. And now he's in Cleveland, so I have to cover him again. You really should learn who the hell he is.
Now retiring. What's his name?
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's going to, and apparently he can catch the ball. I'm not going to claim that I know a whole lot about Nick Bowden.
If you look up his highlights, you can see him catching a few balls, and it's not like they're the most impressive catches or anything like that, but he's capable.
So. He torched Wyoming, which was nice, which is always good because that means Josh Allen loses. And when Josh Allen loses, we all win.
Oh, poor Bills.
Oh, my God.
So let's talk about, you know, he does add a new wrinkle to the whole running back situation. And we were already pretty deep and people were already getting cut. Now you have a fullback in there. I want to add just one thing about Abdullah. I think the reason he stays, there's people talking that he could get cut. Straight up, he's going to return kicks of one kind or another. That's what keeps him on the team.
I don't think so. I disagree with that. I think you have your returner in Agnew.
I think you have your punt returner in Agnew. My issue is that I think given price tag situations, I just think Riddick is much more likely to be cut than Abdullah. But we'll see what happens.
All right. I think that Riddick is a lot more useful in the offense, but we'll see about that. That's for another show.
It depends on what they do, right? I mean, and that's part of the handicap we're working under, because this is all new. This is all new to all of us, and they could go a couple of different directions, which would justify one or the other. I just think that the returns are why you're going to see Abdullah. And again, I could be wrong. I do yet still this year to be wrong once, so we'll see how it goes. Really quick, we want to talk about something great sponsor that's joined us here, Under Armour. Great stuff that they do. They started out, they came to the table big. They've got a $75 gift card ready for you to win. Who wants it? All right. We talked a lot.
I want it, Chris.
Me.
Well, you guys got a little work to do. We talked about this in the live show a little bit. We're going to give you a little more information here. The winner of this Under Armour $75 gift card is going to be the producer of the very best Lions meme. You don't even have to be. It doesn't necessarily have to be a new one, but I mean, you got to be the first one to retweet a really, really good one. And it's all about the Twitter contest. You know that. And it's going to run through May 29th. And we will log them as they come. So don't worry, you can enter any time and get equal weighting, and we'll do a judging on the show. Last time we did one of these contests, it was Dan Orlovsky who picked the winner. We'll see who picks this time. We'll find someone fun. Make sure you tweet. There's a couple things about your tweet. You have to have the meme. That has to be part of it. And it has to include at DET Lions Podcast, the Detroit Lions Podcast tag, and also at Under Armour. You've got to include Under Armour in there. And to play on the We Will tag from Under Armour, we're going to use the hashtag Lions Will. Hashtag Lions Will. Those are the four key components. A good meme that makes us laugh, that we enjoy, or makes us feel good, whatever. DET Lions Podcast, Under Armour, and hashtag Lions Will. Get those three things in your tweet. We will find it, and we will pick out the very, very best after May 29th, and that person will win a $75. This isn't cheap shit here, guys. This is the real deal. Under Armour stepped up. $75 could be yours. Join and get in there and go for it today. Otherwise, if you're going to make an Under Armour purchase, because everybody can't win, only one winner, head over to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Click on that Under Armour link. Let them know that you got there from us, and they will continue to have such a great relationship with us and work on some sponsorship. We're working on some other things coming up, like we did with the live broadcast on the draft. We're also looking at some other events that we do. You guys are familiar with those, and we'll see if we can get them as sponsors for those as well. All right, moving on. You know, the sexiness of the draft usually takes up the big stuff, but as people work on websites, and you know it, Riz, you're scrambling after that last pick, right? Because it's just a run on the UDFA market. And these guys, I mean, you're talking about, I mean, major, major stars, every single one of them ready to break out in the NFL. And we picked up a couple of guys this year. I want to start up with probably the most valuable player that was not drafted, the only pro-ready quarterback out of Michigan, John O'Korn. We got him as an UDFA. Is he going to start week one on Monday night against the Jets, Riz, or is he just? Are they just going to run him from training camp and then never stop?
Oh my God, I can't believe he even got a camp invite, and it's not even. He didn't even get signed. He's technically in on just a tryout basis. Mm-hmm. Oh, I guess they want to work out the defensive backs and see how well they catch the ball, because that's all he can throw to.
How well they run it after an interception, for sure.
Yeah, he's a placeholder until we pick up Johnny Manziel.
Oh, dear God. I hadn't even thought of that.
He's there to run cardio for the defensive backs. That's what he's doing. John O'Korn. There's a lot of people talking about this and scratching their heads and so on.
Stop laughing.
guys, don't get too worried. This is a guy that is going to be gone very, very quickly. Remember, the rookie camps are coming up. They need somebody to play quarterback for their team. Don't worry. It's all he's doing. He's not sticking around.
They need somebody to make the defense look good.
Yeah, right. I mean, somebody's got to be the water boy. So anyway, that's what they're going to do. Don't worry about him being around. He seems to be a nice guy and all that. And again, he's a pro-ready quarterback, but he's just not even got a chance of making this team. So we shall move on. Riz, who's your favorite pick out of the UDFAs?
Yeah, there's a couple of them that caught my mind or caught my eye. Amari Coleman from Central Michigan, a guy that I've watched quite a bit, has corner and safety skills. I think he sort of takes over the Adarius Barnes role of a guy who bounces between the practice squad and the active squad in injuries. Mm-hmm. I think he can stick. I think he certainly will stick on the practice squad. He's a guy that I like. The punter, believe it or not, the guy that they brought in from Minnesota, this guy could make the team. I'm not going to say that Sam Martin is in trouble, but Sam needs to have a good offseason. I think they saw last year when they brought up what was the guy Casey? Who got hurt? Casey Redfern. Redfern. Yes. Thank you very much. They saw that maybe there isn't that big of a gap between Sam and what else is out there. And if they can make that move, I think they probably would. And I'm not saying, you guys know I'm a huge Sam Martin fan.
He didn't look the same coming off the injury that he did.
No,
before,
he did not. So. He really did not. And he needs to.
He has a lot to prove.
A bit there.
And he does have a lot. Just to jump in, I mean, I don't want to minimize, and I don't want you to minimize the gap between punters, because there's a lot of bad punters out there. We've also seen it with kickers. Nate Freeze comes to mind. Just gives you the goosebumps, right? Makes you a little bit throw up in the back of your mouth. Casey Redfern is a damn good punter. And I was just talking to him and his agent about some other things recently. And Casey's ready to make his comeback. He's still on the team. He's out there. He'll be out there kicking too. I'll be interested to see how this plays out because you're absolutely right, Riz. There are two people here staring down Sam Martin, and he has got to have a good offseason. Or, you know, he's like you said, I really like him, right? He's a fan favorite. A lot of people really like him, but there's other guys that are going to be pushing him. And it's odd to have this curse of gifts at the punter position, but whatever, right? We'll take the best guy and we'll move on. So it's interesting to hear that this UDFA in Ryan Santoso is there too, because I know Casey is ready to go, and he was a damn good punter before he got hurt.
For those of you who listened to our live, watched our live draft coverage, my buddy Mike, who called in, is the Vikings fan who called in immediately after the draft, immediately after we picked up this punter. He sent me a message like, "Oh my God, I'm so happy for you guys. You picked him up. I really hope he makes your team." I was like, probably won't, but you know, strange. Obviously, we went through three punters last year, so stranger things have happened. He can throw the ball a little bit as a quarterback. He can also do kickoffs, so you know, he's got that kind of versatility. That
it was so weird last year. I mean, three punters. What is it? 12, 13 different iterations on offensive line. It's just a mess of injuries. Ooh. All right, who else out there, Riz? Who else are you looking at here, buddy?
Okay, I have not seen this guy play yet, and I still have not seen him play yet, but I got texted from an area scout from a different team who watched Chad Meredith from Southeast Missouri State. He's a linebacker.
I was just looking him up, too. Interesting guy.
And this scout said that he compares almost as good as Dylan Cole from a year ago. And if you don't know who Dylan Cole is, Dylan Cole was an undrafted free agent out of Missouri State.
Didn't he go to the Texans?
He not only made the Houston Texans, he wound up starting for the Houston Texans.
That's right. And
was great. He got a safety. He picked off a pass. He actually blew out his knee while doing an interception return. But it was the second pick in as many weeks.
Not quite a highlight part right there.
He was really good. And this guy is not quite as fast and not quite as lithe in coverage, but this area scout said that his team they actually were in the bidding to get him, and the Lions outbid them for him. So he's somebody that I needed to watch because there's some talent there.
Saw that he was almost as good as the
yes,
dude.
That's
that
that's Texas. Exact. That's to quote verbatim the text that I got is that he's almost as good as Dylan Cole. Dylan Cole's a starting NFL linebacker, so if you can get a guy that's almost that good. At that point, you
got to hear Whitehead.
So we picked up a tight end. He's probably the heir apparent to Eric Ebron, DeAndre Goolsby. What a name, Goolsby.
We'll see you at Halloween, my friend.
One thing with Goolsby, you have to remember, Florida's quarterbacks were worse than John O'Korn. Yeah. Keep that in mind when you're talking. This guy's he's a physical freak.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, Malik Zaire is in some camp now too. The guy who was one of their bad quarterbacks. Danny Etling got freaking drafted. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Well, quarterbacks everywhere. You look at Goolsby, and he didn't exactly have like amazing college production. 750 some yards over 3 years, and I think 5 touchdowns. So it isn't like he fits the same mold as the, you know, Eric Ebron, Luke Wilson. He's not going to block. He is never going to block.
No, I hope.
He's a receiver. That's all he is. But he's a big bodied receiver. And so if they feel the need to, you know, roster him to, you know, he'll go up against some of the other guys we've had, you know, milling in the tight end pool, and maybe even another veteran. I mean, Antonio Gates is still out there. Yeah. Chargers are not bringing him back, and I would love that. But it's certainly possible that he could end up the number three tight end on this squad, and you're not going to see him catching a ton of passes because he'd be the number three guy. But you wouldn't. He might, you know, occasionally get a route downfield, and you know they might throw him a bone every once in a while. So.
Well, he might be able to see some balls when you with a good quarterback too. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. It's always kind of a gamble down there in the pool of UDFAs. Anybody else that jumped out at you, Riz?
Not really. I have seen a few of the people. Yeah. The JoJo Wicker was a guy that I looked at briefly. He didn't do much for me. Didn't ring my bell. Fatu from USC was a guy. He had one really, really good game, and I actually think it was against Arizona, now that I'm thinking back to it.
He's got a wrestling pedigree, so you'll probably get a lot about him on some other podcasts.
Yes, you probably will.
El-Rasheed Benton, the linebacker out of West Virginia, had some interesting stats coming out of college. I haven't watched any of his tape, so I have no idea, you know, if that's just, you know, fluky or what exactly it is. But he certainly had an interesting statistical line, having multiple sacks, multiple interceptions, lots of tackles, that kind of thing. So he's an interesting, you know, thought anyway.
Yeah. Maybe we could do the training camp show in singlets. Sorry, my mind's wandering. Speaking of parties.
Speedos, baby.
We had an awesome, awesome draft party. It was a good time. A lot of compliments. Thank you so much, guys. A lot of viewers. I mean, it's still on YouTube if you want to check it out. YouTube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. You'll see the live draft party. Case and I made our first video appearances, and I have to say we were smashing. Absolutely smashing. And
I didn't hear anybody like say that they immediately turned it off because of the way we looked. So
no, they just watched on a different TV and listened in probably, but whatever. The one thing is though, I mean, when you turn off YouTube, you know, you can't still hear it. So it had to be going. I mean, people had to be watching. So that was good. A couple other people, you know, a couple imitators out there, but of course there's only one that always delivers. We were out there for you guys. Hope you liked it. That's going to be our standard format. We're going to make a couple of changes based on the feedback we got, but we're going to do a couple of here and there, some live videos as we're recording these podcasts, so you guys can get a kind of sneak peek and just see us messing around and see some of the behind the scenes silliness. And then also our live post game shows will also be done very similar format to that. So you'll be able to see us and hang out and call in and do all those great things. It was a great time. And thanks to everyone who called in. But I would be absolutely remiss if I didn't thank the people that helped make that happen. First and foremost, Vitas Raucus, old friend of the show. We talked about him. He did that sweet opening, the 3D animation, the whole thing. It was really, really killer. Thank you so much, Vitas. It was really, really great. Trev, Punk Rockin' Trev from the subreddit, one of the mods. He did the background graphic there with the beer and the microphones and all that. And the great stadium look was awesome. As always, Nate Cheatham, a lot of work on those cards. Did a lot of stuff, put that together, and then helped switch those cards with the production. Kurt Caribou, one of our writers at DetroitLionsPodcast.com, killed it with the scroll. I don't know if you guys noticed it, but the scroll, it was just like an airplane movie. You had to pay attention to the background because there was comedy going on all the time. Some great jokes, a lot of fun going on in the scroll. I'd watch it again if you missed it because there's some real gems in there. And then, of course, I have to give my very, very best to my fam, my boy, my wife. Thank you so much. They were switching the graphics of the who's on the clock, who's next. As it went through, they did a great job. They didn't make a mistake all night long, and it's more than I can say for myself. So good job, guys. Thank you all so much for helping produce that. It was an awesome show. Like I said, we've got more like this coming. In the meantime, the way you guys can really help us out, and this is big stuff for us because it's going to help push some of this stuff to the next level. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Head on over to youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. And just hit that subscribe button. We need to push that over 1,000 subscribers, and you guys can help us do that. So go there, go subscribe. Subscribe on every YouTube account you got. Subscribe your friends. It doesn't matter. They'll never notice. Just go do that and make it happen. YouTube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast and subscribe. All right, a couple things to talk about. We got a schedule coming up for the month of May. It's a busy month. You know, everyone wants to kind of sit back and relax after the draft, but rookie minicamps coming up. Riz, is that going to be this weekend or next weekend? Do we know yet?
I think it is next weekend.
Okay. And it has to start on Saturday or Sunday for 3 days, right?
Right. Yes. And it's players who have signed as undrafted free agents. It's the draft class, and it's also tryout players. And there will be a lot more tryout players than are already listed on there. But yeah, most teams are not doing it this coming weekend, but the following weekend is my guess. I don't actually have the schedule in front of me, but that's what my guess is. I know that the Browns and the Texans are both doing it then, and I assume that that's what most teams, the Cowboys, are doing it then as well.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Interesting. So you would think, I mean, because the third day, if you start on Friday, you can start, I'm sorry, Saturday, you can start on Saturday or Sunday. You start on Saturday, day three is the 14th of May. You start on Sunday, you get to the 15th. On the 14th of May is the rookie football development program that begins. So that's interesting on how those will work out and how that'll play. And then you have the NFLPA rookie premiere, which was, is that first and second rounds are mandatory? Is that how it works? And then after that, you can send some people. I forget.
It is by invite from the NFLPA and the people at Panini, the card people. It's essentially the launch of the trading card season.
Right.
And they get all the players out in Los Angeles and they do that. This is when the players do get their pictures taken for it. It's a big event. It's actually made for TV now, which is kind of cool.
Is this the one where they get the always wear a condom and all that kind of talk too?
No, they get that at, that's the rookie development program.
Yes.
That's where they get that.
And that's coming up in June, right?
I think that's later in May too. And that is I think they're doing them in regions now. Last year they were all in Aurora, Ohio. And I used to live there. I was right. I used to be able to walk. If you'd ever been to SeaWorld, back in the day, where it was.
Okay.
I got married there.
Spent some time with Shamu.
Yeah. Exactly. One of my best friends in college actually was Shamu. He was the guy that sat and greeted people at Shamu, but that's another story for another day. So that's where they get all that stuff.
Like a piranha story again.
No.
I don't want to hear that with Shamu. Shamu.
No, that would be very disturbing. Involving the person that who's involved. Yes. No, this is a happy story.
Oh, good, good. I like happy stories. They just don't work on this show.
Yeah, the schedules. Those are somewhat variable by team. There is a little bit of flexibility, and I do not know what the Lions is, but they do go in that sequential order.
Okay.
It's like 3 days, and then there's another one where there's a mini camp where they also do bring in the NFLPA people, and the NFLPA rep veterans will be in as well to talk with them. And that's like a week and a half after that. And then there's a mini camp that is – I want to say it's the weekend after Memorial Day, but don't quote me on that.
Yes. Yes. OTAs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of work out, but we're just lining up May right here. We'll get into June soon. Don't worry. There's a lot going on in May, a lot more than people kind of tend to expect, but there'll be a good flow of news coming from that. And a lot of really, really good stuff. Now let's not forget, if you're looking for news, I don't know. I got a crappy segue here. Just go to Amazon.com. Don't go to Amazon.com. Go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the shop link to go to Amazon or Fanatics or SeatGeek. There's great new jerseys. The Ragnow jerseys out there. If you want that, head to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. We got a nice little spot for you right there on the front page to click on it and get that first round pick jersey and some of the other jerseys available from these. You can get yourself a Kerryon Johnson jersey. There's all kinds of stuff out there. Head on over to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Click on that Fanatics link or the shop link and get your Lions gear. Same thing with Amazon. You're going to buy anything from there. DetroitLionsPodcast.com and use that link to go over and pick some stuff up. We appreciate everybody that does that. They give us a little kickback when you do that. And it helps keep the show going. Helps fund all this wicked cool stuff we're doing here.
We're going to have so much fun stuff for people this year. It's going to be great.
This is a big year, a big step forward for us. And we'll talk a little bit about some of the stuff in a little bit. I mean, we're a little over a month away from entering our fourth year, Riz. Can you believe how old this show is?
I'm somewhat shocked by that. I actually remember the first email I got from you, like, hey, man, are you interested at all in coming on the show? And I'm like, I don't really know you, but yeah, why not? What the hell? And look where we've come.
And now we pass out in the back of an Uber in each other's arms. It's crazy.
I don't remember that. I won't deny it, but I don't remember that.
It was fun. It was fun. All right. So yeah, that was good times. We'll have more about that. We'll have a little bit of celebration as we keep going here. As we do though, we got a great phone call from the man who cannot seem to keep it under 3 minutes. We got something here from our man Malcolm, and let's hear it.
Chris Case, what's going on, guys? This is Malcolm here checking in Tuesday morning, post draft euphoria. Follow up thoughts to our conversation on Thursday night. Great show, by the way. My first time enjoying that with you guys, and hope to be back again soon. I thought you guys did a really nice job. It was fun and engaging. And honestly, I didn't really watch the NFL or ESPN coverage. I just watched you guys. So kudos. Regarding the draft, we talked a little bit about fans and expectations. And I think that over the last couple of days, as Quinn has done his press conferences and stuff, it's kind of solidified my thinking that we as Lions fans are going to have to sort of shift into a new mindset in order to truly understand his vision and where he's going. Quinn talked about value and where they had guys rated, and it felt more credible than even like what we've seen from a Matt Millen, et cetera, before. And you can see it play out in the guys that he drafted, right? Everybody says we reached for linemen, we reached for the defensive back in the third round. Well, that's what talent evaluators who aren't in, you know, the NFL war rooms are telling you. All those guys who do draft grades, post-draft, it's just one big circle jerk, because in order for them to be validated to their fan base, you've got to pick the guys they think you should pick, when you should pick them, so it can be like, see, look what I did, I'm right. The Lions went against pretty much all conventional wisdom in that draft, and, you know, that made people, quote-unquote, look bad. So, yeah, you get a B, you get a C minus, like, who gives a shit, right? A draft grade 2 days after the draft when no one stepped on the field is ludicrous. You need at least 3 years to truly evaluate a draft. And all we've seen from Bob Quinn in the 3 years that he's been here is guys that come in up and down through the draft line, they all contribute. I'm expecting all of those guys to contribute. That is huge. We've never had that in a trade before. We've got to change our expectations as fans on what it's going to be. Yes, it's not sexy. Yes, it's not the things that we think they should be doing. But he talked about it. We're going to a two-gap, more sort of read and react scheme on the defensive front. Well, that probably means the linebackers, if they spend all that money for signing a free agency, are going to be more pressure generators than they've ever have been before in Detroit. Change your expectations, right? What you think they need is not always necessarily what they think they need. And those are the people that are most important. Quinn has put enough on the table for me to let me know the dude knows what the fuck he's doing, and I fuck with the vision. The last thing I'll say is that doesn't change the fact that we can have angst about defensive line and want to see more and want to figure out how we're going to get pressure. Those are all legitimate questions, but we also have to sort of step back and just think about the big picture and see what's happening. Who else are they going to sign between now and the start of the season with all those guys they brought in for free agency business that didn't sign? Jonathan Hankins is a name that's been flying around Lions Twitter. I'd love to have him come in, especially for thinking about two gapping and stop.
3 minutes.
Oh man, he was doing a good job.
I know. I absolutely love Malcolm. He always takes part. He loves the show. He's a good supporter. But man, he cannot get that in under 3 minutes ever.
Something to work on, buddy. Can I say something about the Jonathan Hankins thing?
Absolutely.
For what he was asking for, and I have a very good confirmation of what he was asking for. You don't want him in Detroit. He wants near Ziggy money. He is not worth near Ziggy money.
There you go. Yeah, look, I like the idea of him in Detroit. I just don't like the cost associated with him in Detroit.
Yeah, I think Ricky Jean Francois is much more of a thing. There was a guy that Washington cut, and I cannot think of his name for the life of me now. But as soon as I saw his name go on the waiver wire, I'm like, there's a guy that the Lions can use. And the Redskins cut him on Wednesday or Tuesday. So look that up. They got rid of a few guys. This guy, it might be Terrell McClain. There's a guy who would fit. And there are more guys who will get released from other teams who will be out there who will fit as well.
Yep. All right. Great call, Malcolm. Thank you again for the nice.
It was a good call.
Party.
He's got some really good ideas. I totally am with you on that, buddy. So call back, but keep it a little shorter, maybe. Chris doesn't like giving up that much control of the show.
Thank you. Someone finally recognizes it, or at least has the balls to say it. All right. That's it. Don't forget, you go to youtube.com/Detroit Lions podcast and give us that subscribe. And if you haven't seen it, go check out the show. It's a lot of fun. And it's, again, like everything we do here, all improv. I mean, we work for some bullets, but otherwise it's all us. It's just us. This is who we are. We're pants free, baby. All right, remember, this show needs your involvement. Use the comments in the subreddit to give us your feedback. We love your feedback on the show. Helps make us better, helps get us bigger, stronger, and faster. Also, don't forget about us on Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions podcast. It's patreon.com/Detroit Lions podcast, or head on over to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the Patreon link. All those donations, all those donators, we love you, love you, love you. And thank you very much for supporting the show. make sure to check us out on Facebook. Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. And on the Twitter maker, Twitter cheese at DET Lions Podcast. DET Lions Podcast. It's the very best place to see Case.
Trading up to take Chris in the second.
Taking a deuce. All right. Give us a call via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. It's all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. Or call us on the Lions line. 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-335-4667. That's how Malcolm gets a hold of us. You can go there and we'll get you on the show. Also, don't forget to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and subscribe to the podcast so the three of us can come in your little box automatically all at once. Thank you for tuning in, and we're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. It's your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.
Hey, Dean Blandino here, and I can tell you unequivocally that call was 100% wrong.
Nom, 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 nom.